Hello everyone. Are you fed up of the lockdown yet? Have you had enough of being locked up in your own home, not being able to go and do as you want to do, when you want to do it? You know, being locked up is never nice in the long term. You ask those who've had to endure it themselves. I mean, do you remember Terry Waite? He was an ambassador for peace working for the Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1980s. And having been successful in seeing captives released in the past, he travelled to the Middle East again in January 1987. He went to Beirut to try and gain the release of more of those who had been kidnapped. But he then himself was taken captive on January the 20th, 1987. Do you know, he endured 1,763 days of being shut in, being locked up, imprisoned. For nearly 5 years, he was held captive against his will. And all that for no crime, save seeking the release of others from captivity. For 4 years of that time, he was kept in solitary confinement. 4 years locked in completely on his own. Can you imagine that? Well, as you might imagine, it took a terrible toll on him. When he was released, he wrote a book about his experiences called Taken on Trust. It's actually a really good book. It's well worth a read, particularly if you're feeling a little bit fed up having had to spend a few weeks locked in yourself. You see, as human beings, we're not really designed to be totally alone in the long term. We're not really designed to be shut in, locked up, with no social contact whatsoever. I think at some point, all of us long for a little bit of human contact. A face-to-face chat or a hug. Neither are we designed to be inside all the time. We hanker for being outside, in the air. We can stay in for a while, but the urge to break free becomes stronger and stronger. Have you noticed these things in yourself? We like our freedom. We like being able to travel outside of our own four walls. We like to go for drives and walks and generally do things for ourselves. We miss human contact, the chance to have a chat, just to be with others. Perhaps now, having experienced it to some degree, we can understand why being put in prison really is a punishment. Freedom is taken away. Now, last weekend, the government said that there will be a gradual easing of the lockdown that we're currently in, providing many other things happen. We're now able to go outside more, we can exercise more, we can breathe the lovely fresh air more. We're even able to take a drive, if we want to. And all of this is wonderful. Though, of course, we must still maintain social distancing in order to stop a huge second spike of infections. So whilst the lockdown has been eased a little, we're told that we must stay vigilant and be on our guard, which basically means being sensible and avoiding contact with others wherever possible, minimising the risk of infection. Continue to wash your hands carefully or use a strong alcohol-based hand wash regularly. The pandemic in the UK does finally, thank you Jesus, seem to be past its original crisis, but the threat isn't yet over. The church building still remains closed, locked down, shut up. Indeed, much of the world seems to be locked away at the moment, so to speak. Now, of course, there have been many people who have suggested many things that we can do while we are locked up in our homes. The first is exercise, and we keep hearing about exercise. In fact, there seems to be more talk about exercise now than there ever has been. But we're told we should keep active. And you know, there are demonstrations that these things are being taken seriously. Last weekend, the UK pretty much sold out of dumbbells. You know, those little weights that you can lift at home. Who'd have thought it? And exercise is good for us. Get out. Have a walk. And there's another thing. Call other people on the phone. Just having that conversation helps. Use video calling if you're able to. And then you can have lots of different things to do. If we just have one or two things that we can do, we can get very bored. Variety is, after all, the spice of life. But here's a question. What else can we do while we are locked up? I've been thinking about that again this week. I've been reading through the Bible, and this morning I wanted to share with you from some of the things I've read in the Word of God. Specifically today, these reflections are based around Paul and Silas, who were, at this point, locked up in prison. If you've got your Bible, turn with me now to Acts chapter 16, and we'll read verses 16 to 36 together. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men's a servant of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realised that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." So, for what reason were Paul and Silas thrown into prison? They'd cast out an evil spirit from a woman who was fortune-telling. All good, you'd think. But her owners, yes, she had owners. Doesn't that sound awful in this day and age? Yet you know, it still goes on even today. Her owners were making money out of her fortune-telling, and as such they were angry with Paul and Silas, and so they took them to court because of their loss of earnings. So Paul and Silas ended up in prison. Imprisoned for freeing a woman from her own kind of prison, the prison of demonic oppression. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were locked in. They were isolated from society, and that was quite a big deal. After all, Paul was an evangelist. He thrived on talking to other people about Jesus. But now him and Silas were in a cell. An inner cell. No windows, no ventilation, just four walls. They had nowhere to go, although they probably didn't have to maintain a 2 metre gap between themselves and the other prisoners. Probably couldn't have done if they'd tried. They couldn't get out. They were imprisoned. They were locked up. And I know some of you are feeling a little bit like that at the moment. So I thought it would be interesting for us to see what Paul and Silas did in this situation. Well, we've read together the Bible account, so what was it they did? Verse 25 of our reading tells us, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." So there it is. Paul and Silas were praying and worshipping God. They may have been locked up in prison, but these two faithful servants of Jesus were definitely not going to shut up talking with the Lord. They would not shut up worshipping Jesus. They would not shut up sharing their faith. They may have been in a prison cell, not the easiest place to talk about God, perhaps, but they would not be shut up. They kept on praying. They kept on praising. They kept on talking about Jesus. I'll tell you this much, not one other person in that prison was under any illusion about who Paul and Silas were. Every other inmate knew the faith that Paul and Silas had. And then we read what happened next. God showed up. He showed up big time. And you know, the same is true for us. If we will persevere in our faith, if we will continually be praying, praising, no matter what the circumstances, the trial, or the trouble we face, God will turn up. For Paul and Silas, as they sat there in their prison cell, a miracle happened. There was an earthquake, and as a consequence of the earthquake, all of the prison doors came open. All of their chains were loosed, shaken free from the walls. And so, as you can imagine, every one of those prisoners made a break for it. They all ran for the hills, never to be seen again. Only, that isn't what happened at all, is it? It's what we might have expected, but it didn't happen that way. In fact, what did happen was that, as we read, none of the prisoners, not one of them, made a break for it. They all stayed right where they were. They all remained with Paul and Silas. So which was the bigger miracle? The earthquake? Or that all these prisoners stayed, despite the chains falling off and the doors opening? Let's read verses 27 to 28 again. "The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself, we are all here.'" You see, what happened was this. That night, all of those prisoners that were there with Paul and Silas were shown what real freedom is. And even when the earthquake happened and their chains came loose and the doors were swung open, they found that they wanted to know more. What they really wanted was not physical freedom, but spiritual freedom. They'd heard about Jesus now and they wanted him for themselves. They had learned that true freedom did not come from anything outside of those prison doors, but real freedom comes through Jesus into your soul. And when the jailer woke up thinking that all his prisoners had escaped, he was about to commit suicide until Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." This was nothing like the jailer had ever seen before or ever even dreamed of. He knew that if the prisoners escaped on his watch, whatever the circumstances, he was for it. His life would be forfeit. Better to kill himself right there than endure what would logically follow. But then he hears what Paul shouts out. He can't really believe what he hears, so he asks for lights to be brought in. Why haven't all the prisoners gone? He can't imagine. What a powerful testimony this is to Jesus, that even those in prison don't run away. surely there is a great power at work in this place. You can hear the jailer's brain ticking over. They're still here? Why? What have they got? What haven't I got? I want it. So the jailer actually brought them out of the jail and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? In other words, what must I do to be free like you are free?" You know where I'm going with this, right? When we are locked up, when we are locked in, don't shut up. Have you seen all those clips on social media in the news where people go outside and sing for their neighbourhood? There was a beautiful one I saw, I think, on Facebook, where in a block of flats in Italy, this person went outside and was singing from their balcony. It was amazing. It was beautiful. It brought a measure of hope to all those people. But you know what? We have a greater hope. We have a hope that is steadfast and certain, a hope that we can share with the whole world. So even while we are locked up, please don't shut up. We can still pray. We can still sing to the Lord in praise and worship. We can still share our faith over the phone, over the fence, and on social media. People are feeling anxious, stressed, lost, cut off, isolated. No doubt these are some of the things those prisoners who were with Paul and Silas were feeling themselves. So we too should be like Paul and Silas. Let's share what we have with others. Let's share the joy and the peace of knowing Jesus with others. Let's share our hope, our joy, and our peace. Think about it. What causes other people to have a desire to know Jesus? Is it how we dress or the cars we drive? Is it the size of our church or the colour of our carpet? Is it the worship band or the amazing singing? I hope not. Or is it about the way we live? Ponder that for a moment. Is it that we are filled with joy and praise for God? Is it that even when we're locked up, we just can't shut up? You know, when people see Christians living like Christ followers, it speaks to their souls. And this is where the question comes from. What must I do to be like you? So, this week, please remember this message, because I hope it will help each one of us to be good ambassadors for Christ. We may be locked up, but we don't have to shut up. Everyone is only a phone call away. Connect and share with people. Show love. Give hope. Share Jesus. We may well be physically locked up for a few weeks more yet, but Jesus is King of Kings. During this time, let us show that we have something and someone who sustains us through all difficulties. That we can pray and praise and worship Jesus even though we are locked in. And let us be hope givers to a world so desperately in need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we look to your word this week to encourage us, that we might give courage to others. Lord, would you help us to encourage one another? And may we, your people, your children, not stay quiet in declaring the greatness of our God to the world. In the darkest of times, you bring light. In times of terrible confusion, you bring purpose. In times of great hurt and sadness, you bring comfort to our souls. We praise you today and every day until we meet you face to face in all your glory. Amen. We're going to share communion together now. But first, just pause for a moment or two if you can. Perhaps you could listen to that song that I suggested. It's called Communion Song. It's by Stuart Townend. Or if not, you might want to listen to something else. That's fine. But then we'll share communion together. Though we, Stourport Baptist Church, are spread around the Wyre Forest and beyond, we are all part of the body of Christ, which is spread around the entire world. And so it is that we join with all who are followers of Jesus to remember what our Saviour has done for us. It is Jesus who invites you to come and share at the table of the Lord, remembering his death and resurrection. We come to share together here. Yet first of all, we must all die a little more. We must die to all that is within us that is loveless, all that is proud, all that brings hurt to ourselves and others, all that is sinful, all that is of this world. For our holy God calls us, his people, to be holy as he is holy. The command of Jesus is that we let go of all else and love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And that we should love our neighbours as we love ourselves. So, as we come to the table, let us pause now for a moment and think of all that is within us that comes in the way of our relationship with Holy God. Asking him to highlight those things that need to be changed, those things that need to be repented of, those things that need to be left behind as we come closer to him. The Lord has promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you desire this grace and cleansing? Ask God now for his forgiveness. Jesus also warned us that those who ask for forgiveness must also practice forgiving. Are you prepared to be generous and forgiving to those who have hurt you and to let go of all bitterness? Are you willing to love as he has loved you? Let us pause and reflect on these questions before we move on. And now, let us pray. Father, even before Jesus broke the bread, even before he poured the wine, he gave thanks to you, our Father, King of the universe, giver of every good thing, of food and drink, of companionship and love, of all that gives us strength and delight. We come to you this day with hearts full of thanks for your great generosity. Amen. At the Passover table, Jesus shared with his disciples. He spoke about the destruction of his own body, the result of human cruelty, indifference, and envy. Father God, we remember Jesus right now. We remember his courage and integrity, his willingness to die for the grace he proclaimed. And we thank you, Father, for our redemption, won at such cost. Amen. Jesus promises to be with us always, and we acknowledge and delight in his presence here now. As we eat bread together right now, we remember his life, his death and his resurrection, providing a way that we might be reconciled to the Father. So let us eat now and think about what Jesus has done. After the disciples had shared their meal together, Jesus took a cup of wine and he paused and blessed it. Then he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So we too, as one body, share in this new covenant and we remember the blood of our Lord Jesus that was poured out for us. Let us drink together now, remembering our Lord's sacrifice for us. Let us drink together. Lord, we thank you for the new covenant in your blood. Amen. And now let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your great love for us. We thank you for Jesus. We see his love at the cross. Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to give up your life for us. Here, we have remembered your sacrifice. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit binding us together in a new and living way. And we ask that you would fill us again and give us the strength we need to live our lives as beacons, as signposts to the kingdom of heaven, proclaiming the good news of Jesus to all the world. Amen. And as we come to an end now, a blessing on each and every one of you. Go now in peace. Never be afraid. The Father will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true, knowing he will guide you in everything you do. Go now in peace, in faith and in love. Go in the Holy Spirit, for he will keep you strong. Go now in love and show that you believe, reaching out to others so all the world can see that Jesus is among us and brings peace to you and me. Amen.